I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's October 19th, and we have a lot to talk about. ECTRIMS, the largest MS research conference in the world, took place last week, and for the second year in a row, ECTRIMS 2021 was a virtual conference. This year's conference attracted more than 9,000 attendees who came to listen to 200 speakers and review abstracts describing 1,700 MS research projects. And just as we've done in past years, you can look forward to a special episode of Real Talk MS that's going to feature some of the research highlights and interviews from ECTRIMS 2021. This week, we're talking about another timely event, and that's your health insurance open enrollment period. Now, a lot of people tend to go through open enrollment on autopilot, assuming that the health insurance that they had last year will continue to serve them well next year. But that's something that isn't automatic. Policies change, physician networks change, and prescription drug formularies change. If you're living with MS, you literally can't afford to be on autopilot when it comes to making health insurance decisions. So a few moments spent carefully considering next year's insurance plan could be the best investment of time that you can make. Joining me today to talk about the kinds of things you want to consider during open enrollment is Nicole Vasquez. Nicole is one of the National MS Society's MS Navigators, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating. I think the MS Navigator program is the gold standard when it comes to offering personalized professional problem solvers to help you navigate life's sometimes choppy waters. Every year during open enrollment, MS Navigators help a lot of people make the best decisions for themselves and their families, and I couldn't be happier to have Nicole joining us today. But before we get to my conversation with Nicole Vasquez, there are a few other things that you should know about. Research has shown that members of the Hispanic or Latinx community and the African American community who are living with MS tend to do worse than their white counterparts. They're more likely to experience greater disease severity and faster progression. And it's been shown that compared to white people, Black people are at a higher risk of developing MS and are more likely to die from MS-related causes. Over the past year, we've talked a lot about these disparities and the systemic inequities associated with healthcare. However, a recent study by researchers at the University of Southern California indicates that in order to solve this unacceptable situation, we may have to consider some of the more fundamental causes of these inequities. The USC research team reviewed studies that were published between January 2014 and March 2021, searching for references to race, ethnicity, disparity, and inequity in several autoimmune diseases, including MS. And their first discovery was just how underrepresented minority populations are in clinical trials, when they found that only 10% of the published clinical trials included African-American or Latino participants. The literature review revealed that members of these minority populations face significant inequities in accessing healthcare, which leads to delays in diagnosis, as well as underuse of services like outpatient neurological care, case management, technology, equipment, and nursing. In the studies that focused on MS specifically, social determinants of health, including low income and low education, were associated with the lower utilization of health services by people of color. Unemployment was associated with poorer outcomes for Black people living with MS, and negative illness perception was also associated with racial and ethnic health disparities. In other words, if you and members of your family, your community, don't believe that your MS disease course can be improved, it's less likely that you'll even bother to seek treatment. The results of this study are troubling because they point out that the challenge of eliminating disparities in healthcare go beyond just healthcare itself. Now, at first, low income, poor education, and unemployment don't sound like the kinds of things that will affect someone's MS journey. But the results of this study show the domino effect that these social determinants of health can produce. So, as we collectively look for ways to improve the quality of care and the access to care among members of minority communities, I hope we're looking at the problem with a wide enough lens. If you'd like to review the details of this thought-provoking study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Being able to identify MS progression early gives you and your neurologist an opportunity to make a change in treatment, perhaps a change to a more aggressive disease-modifying therapy that might prevent or more effectively slow any further disability. That early identification of MS progression is the goal of a 5-year study being launched by Novartis Canada and Inodem to test the effectiveness of Inodem's artificial intelligence-powered eye-tracking technology. As MS causes progressive damage to cells in the central nervous system, this cell damage can affect the brain circuits of the eye, leading to eye movement abnormalities or other eye problems. Inodem's technology is designed to capture eye movement biomarkers that may indicate issues associated with brain health. The technology also measures gaze mapping biomarkers that are used to assess cognitive functions like attention, processing speed, and working memory. And these eye movement biomarkers and gaze mapping biomarkers can reveal issues that are associated with progressive MS before changes are even visible on an MRI. And what's really interesting and really user-friendly is that all of this information is gathered by completing a series of short tasks through an app in just a matter of minutes. And this entire process can be done at home. Being able to identify progressive MS before it can be identified on an MRI and doing it all through an app while you're still at home sounds like a major improvement all around. We'll be sure to keep an eye on this study as it moves forward. Transitioning from cutting-edge innovation to ancient Chinese medicine, let's talk about Arsimed. Arsimed is an investigational formulation of arsenic trioxide, which is used in ancient Chinese medicine. And we're talking about arsenic trioxide because Medsenic, a biopharmaceutical company, has just received a U.S. patent for Arsimed for the treatment of relapsing-remitting MS. Arsenic trioxide has been shown to have an anti-inflammatory and an immunosuppressive effect by targeting the T cells that are involved in most autoimmune disorders while leaving the rest of the immune system intact. Medsenic's patent is based on preclinical studies using mice with EAE, or the mouse version of MS. In these studies, treatment with Arsimed reduced the abnormally active T cells, which delayed disease onset, lessened disease symptoms and severity, reduced neuroinflammation, and prevented the loss of myelin. Clinical trials are already underway to assess the safety and effectiveness of Arsimed in people. And as encouraging as this news is, I'll remind you of my standard disclaimer. There's a huge difference between a mouse brain and a human brain. So while this is positive news, there's still a tremendous amount of work to be done before anyone can determine how effective Arsimed might be for people living with MS. But we'll be sure to keep you updated as these trials continue. Where you live is one of the major components that impact your quality of life. And the personal finance website WalletHub evaluated 182 U.S. cities in putting together their list of the top 10 best and worst cities for people with disabilities. Using several different data sources, the criteria for ranking these cities included employment, healthcare, the percentage of people living with disabilities in the area, the percentage of people with disabilities living at or below the poverty level, walkable park access, the number of physicians in the area, and the cost of living. The analysis also took into account how each city was responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, because many people with disabilities are at a higher risk of more severe infection should they contract COVID-19. So let's look at the 10 best cities for people living with a disability. Coming in at number 10 is Tucson, Arizona. Number 9 is San Francisco, California. Number 8 is Huntington Beach, California. Number 7 is Yonkers, New York. City number 6 is Rochester, New York. Number 5 is Denver, Colorado. Number 4 is Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number 3 is St. Louis, Missouri. Number 2 is Scottsdale, Arizona. And out of 182 cities, the city rated the best for people living with a disability is Overland Park, Kansas. Now let's turn our attention to the bottom 10, the 10 worst cities for people living with a disability. And coming in at number 10 is Gulfport, Mississippi. Number 9 is Providence, Rhode Island. Number 8 is Bridgeport, Connecticut. Number 7 is New Haven, Connecticut. City number 6 is Tallahassee, Florida. Number 5 is Mobile, Alabama. Number 4 is Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Number 3 is Jackson, Mississippi. Number 2 is Montgomery, Arizona. And out of 182 cities, the city rated the worst for people living with a disability is Huntsville, Alabama. Now, if you'd like to review this report and see where all 182 cities rank on the list, you'll find a link in today's show notes. I want to give you a quick reminder that Big October 2021 is underway. This year, it's virtual, and there's still time for you to take advantage of the research presentations, the wellness presentations, the MS Community Expo, and the Wellness Challenge, all at no cost from the comfort and safety of your own home. Big October is something that I really look forward to every year. It's free, and it's a great collection of resources. So I hope you treat yourself to participating in Big October 2021. You'll find the link to register in today's show notes. And speaking of the month of October, the other big thing that happens every year in October is the open enrollment period for your health insurance. In a moment, we'll talk with my guest, MS Navigator Nicole Vasquez, about the things you really want to be thinking about as you make decisions about your 2022 health insurance plan. The Affordable Care Act guarantees that everyone living with MS or any other pre-existing condition has access to health insurance at an affordable rate. And yes, I realize that affordability is a relative term. But we're just a couple of weeks away from the annual open enrollment period for health insurance. This is your once-a-year opportunity to make changes to your health insurance plan or even enroll in a new plan. When you're living with MS, this is a decision that can have a major impact on your health and your finances in the coming year. So choosing wisely is key. And joining me today to help us navigate open enrollment is Nicole Vasquez. Nicole is one of the National MS Society's MS Navigators. And if you're a regular listener, then you've heard me talk about the MS Navigator program before. I think this program is, in a word, remarkable. It represents the gold standard when it comes to just unparalleled one-on-one support. So I'm thrilled to have an MS Navigator joining us today to help us figure out what we need to be thinking about and what we need to be doing during open enrollment. Welcome to the podcast, Nicole.
Hey, thanks, Don. I'm super excited to be here too.
When I'm discussing subjects that can sometimes get a little complicated, I always try to start with a quick review of the basics. So let's start there. what are the main sources of health insurance?
So the biggest sources of health insurance for individuals are going to be what's called group coverage. That's what you get as a benefit of employment, for example. Then there's individual coverage. That's what you would purchase from the marketplace. And then government programs that offer health insurance. And those government programs, the biggest ones that we're familiar with are Medicare and Medicaid.
What kinds of things should people consider when they're choosing a health insurance plan? And I guess more to the point, are there any special considerations that people living with MS should keep in mind?
You know, the elephant in the room, the thing that we all are concerned about is coverage for prescription drugs. So health insurance plans all have a list of medications that they cover, and that's called the formulary. And so you want to make sure that your medications are on the formulary for your health insurance policy for the next year. And not just your, you know, big expensive disease modifying therapy, if that's what you're taking, but also, you know, those other medications. You don't want to miss the forest for the trees and end up with expenses because, you know, you were so focused on the big guns. And then a lot of people with MS have a primary care doctor, but they also have a neurologist. And sometimes it takes people a long time to find a neurologist that they like and they want to continue to work with, as well as physical therapists, emotional support staff, like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, those sorts of things. So you want to make sure that all of those professionals that you have a relationship with and want to make sure that you continue to work with are on the list of providers for that policy then for the next year too.
I was about to ask you about that. You know, I know that insurers expect us to use the doctors who are part of their plan, or as they refer to it, are in-network. And if you wander outside of that network, you usually end up paying a very hefty price. But if someone already has a neurologist or another specialist and it seems to be a good fit, how can they determine whether that provider is part of a particular insurance company's network? How do we know who is or isn't in network?
Most insurance companies will have their provider network listed on their website. So you get your policy information or your plan information, go to the website, and you can be able to get a list there. You can also call the insurance provider and check and see if the provider is in network. So that's, you know, 50% of that process. If you really want to ensure that your provider is going to be continued to be covered for the next year, we also suggest going to the other side and contacting your doctor's office and talking to the billing department or whoever would have that information and make sure that they're going to continue to take that insurance plan and policy for the next year too, because either one of the entities could end their contract. It's not just the provider that gets to choose, or it's not just the health insurance company that gets to choose. They have to agree to work together.
So can you tell us what the open enrollment dates are for 2022?
Yeah, I can tell you some of them. Medicare, open enrollment starts October 15th. That's when they release the 2022 plan options. Ends on midnight on December 7th. Okay, so you have that time to look at your Medicare options for a standalone Part D, the drug coverage, or Medicare Advantage plans if you want to change those. The marketplace, federal marketplace, which is most of the states right now, that will start on November 1st. And you have until January 15th to change your plan. But if you wait till January 15th, your coverage isn't going to start until February 1st. So what we're going to suggest is open enrollment for the marketplace starts November 1st, and you want to have your plan picked and enrolled in it by December 15th. And so that will start your coverage on January 1st when your other contract ends. The other coverage, the group employer coverage, that's going to depend on the employer when their open enrollment is. So it's really important to pay attention to the emails that are coming from HR or your employee handbook or whatever. letting them know, having them tell you when open enrollment starts and ends for you for your employer coverage. Medicaid is rolling. There's no open enrollment for Medicaid. Whenever you're eligible, you can join Medicaid.
Has anything about open enrollment changed due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Last year, yeah, there was a ton of changes. But this year, it looks like it's probably going to be relatively the same because it is it's longer than it was previously anyway. State marketplaces, those states that run their own marketplace, like California, Colorado, and some others, they may change things. We just don't know. So maybe is your answer.
So let's talk about Medicare for a moment. Is Medicare open enrollment for people who are already on Medicare, or is it for people who are new to Medicare? Who is it for exactly?
Open enrollment is for people who are already on Medicare. So even if you only had Medicare coverage for a month in 2021, Medicare open enrollment is for you because you're already a Medicare beneficiary. Individuals who are new to Medicare, so even if you're just going to start and have your first Medicare coverage January 1st of 2022, you're actually not a part of open enrollment. You have what's called your initial enrollment period, and that's actually longer than open enrollment. So it gives you a bigger window of opportunity to make an informed choice to start out your Medicare, and then open enrollment will apply to you then in 2023 or moving forward.
I'm hoping you can explain the difference between what's referred to as Original Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans.
Original Medicare is Medicare Part A, which is inpatient coverage. D, which is, I call it D for drugs. Those are the prescription drugs that you put into your own body, you give to yourself. And then Medicare Part B, as in boy, that is everything else. So if it's not an inpatient hospital stay or prescription drug you give yourself, Medicare Part B is what covers it. And so Original Medicare has those three parts. And then there is an alternative to Original Medicare, which is called Medicare Advantage plans. And Medicare Advantage plans are essentially a privatized version of Original Medicare. So private health insurance companies will put together packages of plans or policies for each year, present them to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And as long as they can prove that that policy is equivalent to what you would get with Original Medicare, then they can sell that as a Medicare Advantage plan to Medicare beneficiaries. These alternatives, these Medicare Advantage plans, have to have at least as much coverage as you would have with Original Medicare, but a lot of them will tack on extra benefits or incentives to entice you to want to choose and enroll in their private insurance over Original Medicare.
If someone wants help or has questions about open enrollment, can they contact an MS Navigator?
Absolutely. We have a whole system and program set up just for open enrollment. And so if you want to give us a call or email us, what we'll do is we will set up an appointment or an appointment window with you. And during that time, we'll give you a call. We'll spend as much time or as little time as you want. And we will go over what worked last year or what didn't work. We'll talk to you about definitions and terms to make sure you understand those. And we will use the Medicare.gov Plan Finder tool to actually pull up the specific plan options that are available to you and help you narrow down those options to make sure that your coverage is going to be as good as it can be for 2022 and make sure you make an informed choice when you finally decide what you're going to do for next year's coverage.
And can you tell us again how people can reach an MS Navigator?
Yes. You can call us 1-800-FIGHT-MS or 1-800-344-4867. You can go to the website, nationalmssociety.org, and you can start a chat with us there, or you can email us at contactus@nmss.org. Any one of those three, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, you already know that I think the Navigator program is amazing. They should be pinning medals on all of you for the work you guys do. It's remarkable. But are there things that an MS Navigator can't help with?
Yeah, there is, unfortunately. The marketplace that we've brought up a few times, we don't have access to the back door information for the marketplace for a variety of reasons. And so with the health insurance marketplace options, again, we can talk about definitions. We can talk about things to look for. We've got a lot of information on our website, nationalmssociety.org. /get covered. There's some good documents there about what to look at and what to consider when you're choosing a marketplace plan. But we also suggest going to healthcare.gov and using their plan or their find local help tool to get connected to an assister in your area. And I think the other big thing that we get the question of, and I think is really frustrating for people, is they call and they want to know, is this particular health insurance company good for people with MS? You know, they want a reliable health insurance company that they can feel safe sticking with. And unfortunately, that's just not something that we can say yes or no to, because it really depends on what your needs are as a person with MS, because your MS is different than everybody else's. And your personality is different than somebody else's. You may be more risk averse than someone else. And so a plan that's good for them would be terrible for you. Or somebody may be really flexible with their providers, whereas, you know, you have a loyalty to your team. And so changing plans would look very different for those two individuals. So what we really want to focus on is giving you the information and the context so that you can make an informed choice as far as what policy is going to be best for you, not just based on a brand name.
If someone is setting out to make the best health insurance decisions for themselves, can you recommend any tools or other resources that they can use?
Yeah, I had mentioned it above too, is the nationalmssociety.org /get covered. That has a ton of good tools on it. The MS Navigators, we're good at helping with these sorts of things too. So if you are on the website and get lost trying to find those documents and those tools that we have, give us a call. We can help you find them. We can walk you through them. And then if there's more resources that are needed, we know of some other places to get in touch with, like, you know, contact us for the marketplace, or we can help direct you for who to ask questions with for employment coverage, those sorts of things. So if you ever feel yourself like drowning in the questions or where to go for the information, just give us a call and we'll do our best again to make sure that you're making that informed choice.
Well, Nicole Vasquez, thank you for making a difference every day in the lives of people affected by MS. And thanks for talking with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society, and you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/216. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. Sometimes caregiving can feel like being thrown into the deep end of the pool without knowing how to swim. And if I can stretch that metaphor just a bit more, I want you to know that there are lifeguards on duty who are ready to help you stay afloat. The National MS Society's MS Navigators are highly skilled, compassionate professionals who can connect you with the information, resources, and support that you need to move your life forward. This is truly a remarkable program that offers one-on-one problem solving. And a lot of people tend to think that the MS Navigators are only available to someone who's living with MS. But the MS Society knows that MS impacts families and not just individuals. So MS Navigators are there to support MS caregivers as well. This week's episode of the MS Caregiver Conundrum goes live Thursday morning, when we'll meet two MS Navigators who also have experience as MS caregivers. And we'll be discussing some of the specific ways that an MS Navigator can support MS caregivers. You'll find the MS Caregiver Conundrum at mscaregiverconundrum.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.